Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
Here's sweeping.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition, the Halal Industry. Do for Self, your host today, Nate Muhammad, Jane Bashir, and Brian Ali. We'd like to open up, like we always, with a long name, the Merciful Benefactor, Merciful Redeemer. And we also like to extend the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum. We also, too, like to give you a greeting from Imam Bilal. He's still under the weather there, and he's looking forward to coming back to the program when he's feeling better. So with that, I'd like to just open up and speak about the topic for today, is the welfare of the people. And how do we get to this topic that, oh, I'm sorry, we're broadcasting from Philadelphia, Massachusetts, Sister Claire Muhammad, historical Sister Claire Muhammad. Okay. Our conversation again started, and I'm more moving around at the Massachusetts a lot during the course of the week, and we're dealing with the people. And our stand is the allow any shoes to do for self. But we have to unite first. And we have in the hardest time to get the people to unite. And I know it's the Lord's will, and I know that. There's no doubt in my mind. But our efforts still have to drive us to appeal to the people. And we generate, and I'm always in dialogue with other people. We talk, we trying to institute, to allow. And the brother said to me, all over the world, the people, I mean, society all over the world is not concerned of the welfare of the people. And that made me stop to think about it. You know, we the one that came in our, coming out of our legacy, the Honorable Imam Imam Muhammad and Prophet Muhammad, we was always concerned about the people, freedom, justice, and equality. But then when he said that, and I thought, man, this is why we're wrestling with the people, because society got the people moving towards finance, wealth, material things. They lead with material things. And when we come and we talk about, again, unifying, you know, now, if they can't make no money from it, they're not interested. Everybody is want to make it a hustle now. But you, ma'am, that taking me back out in the streets where there was always a hustle going on. It, you know, and here we migrated from that atmosphere into a religious atmosphere that's more concerned about the people. And this is what we got. And this is why, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to love, especially our people, African American descendants of slaves. And I had to learn that because I used to look at our people sideways. Well, we crazy as heck. Yeah? And I still see the craziness in the people, but I understand what the people was up or going and how did it got to this point or got into that condition. Just by my own business, I use myself as an example. We have to remake ourselves. And if you listen to the commentator of the system, you know, we talking about remaking the world together. Together we can remake the world. And I like that. That sounds very, very enthusiastic. I can do that. But you have to remake yourself first. That is the key, remaking yourself. And now you remake yourself, you done remade the world. You just remade your world. Now if we make sure and we share with how we did it with other people, then they can remake themselves. And now it's like a domino effect. This is why I was saying is that, again, we have to learn from each other, not fight each other. This is what's going on out with the street. They got the people fighting each other. Just like all over the world, fighting each other. And as long as all that chaos, there's no common sense coming through. None of it getting through. So we have to sit back and we have to look at ourselves and where we want to be within our, how we fit into this scenario. We have an approach. We have a way of how we're going to do it. We don't have a body. And if you look at a lot of the massages and that shit around, I know in Philadelphia vicinity, they have a building, they have everything, but the people are not there. They have the language for the people, and it's not there. So then anybody come up with, I call it, you look at Hustle Man. You come with Hustle Man coming and say, I got a hookup. And now you running behind him. Like you're going to get something from them. The only thing you're going to get from them is you're going to wind up right back in the same state that we was in before we started with nothing. It might sound good, look good, but at the end, it's all bad. And that's why I was saying the welfare of the people. The welfare of the people have to look at themselves and see how We sit in the anointing. We have to read the word of God, because this is what that procedure that got us to this point right here. This is what got us to this stage, is our faith in Allah. This is what got us to sit down and we can talk with each other to share and honor anything that we constantly we can do, anything. And it took time. It didn't just happen overnight. It didn't happen no 10 years. It took 20, 30 years, maybe 40 years to get to this here point where you understand exactly what it is that this doing is. But everything starts with you. And it's going to end with you. That's the whole key. Now, Brian Punch appointing me himself. I'm not going there, Brian. But other than that, we love the people. I'm always for the people. I've always been for the people because I was taught to like the people, love the people. You don't have to like some of the things they do, but you have to appeal to the people first before you do anything. Whether they blow you off, cuss you out, chase you away, you have to appeal to the people first. And we had a position now that we have to make some very good decisions. Things are starting to happen. You know, myself and James were just talking earlier about the political arena and his stand on certain people. And if he decides to do whatever he proclaimed to do, how will we deal with that? And yeah, he's right. He has to prepare for it. You understand? And regardless of what you're going to do, you're going to have to deal with it, regardless of what it is. Can't be afraid. Even though he say that, but Allah is the best to plan. When we move out here in this society, once you establish Allah in your heart, in your life, it's Allah in you. It's not. You're not here by yourself. Allah been guiding in you when you didn't even know it. I have my experience. I can reflect back on those experiences that somebody was guiding me before I knew who he was or what it was. And now that I know what it is and who it is, I'm rolling with him. You know, as that Muslim, give our will to him, to Allah. I'm giving my, he got my will. I don't even argue with that. All I got to say is that how I'm going to appeal to the people through my understanding. It ain't about me. I don't stand on a table and beat myself in the chest and tell you I'm the man. No, I humble myself. Yeah, I know who's in charge. He's in charge, not me. Yeah, I couldn't handle it. And if it was up to me, I'd have lost a long time ago. Looking death in the eye, almost getting struck by lightning, all that, those were wake-up calls for me, you know, that somebody is looking out and looking out for your welfare. So now when I move about and how I move about with Allah. Do the way Allah say do it. I go with people. I'm always going to come respectful, a lowly spirit. And I'm also going to always be fair and honest. I did it. I was in the construction world. They asked me, how could you maneuver and dealing with all these people in these atmosphere without no critical, chaotic moments? I told them I was fair to the people. When I would come in out of town, I come in, I see how the people, what they want, I will tell them all the time. Look, I'm in your area. I'm going to make sure you're taken care of first. And I'm up there, you know, in the mountains. You know how the mountains people are, you know. And I would maneuver with them. But I've seen that everybody will come in and overpower them and put their will on them. No, no, I didn't do that. I came in and I appealed to them. What are you going to do? I seen what was more important to them. And I built everything around whatever was important. And then in return, they showed me all the shortcuts to get around all kinds of things. And I couldn't, and that's a two-way street, as I always call it, that you always give it to get. How do we get faith in the law? We have to submit to his will, submit to him. And he identified himself to us where we can bear witness that, yes, you definitely are born. And that's how we go about getting everything. Anything that we have, this is how we go about getting it. Ain't no coming in here slick really from somewhere around Philly. Yeah. We got to come home. We got to come home.
I think I knew it.
Yeah, I knew a lot of them. We had to come home. But that's what society conditioned us in, the scheme and the canard. No. Lord said, come home. Be fair. Sit down and elaborate on what do you want to do and how we want to get it done. We've been having meetings and stuff around here all the time. We're meeting with the people. And all the people, all they ask is to be fair to them. And all we were asking is that you be honest with us. Now, we being fair and honest, we can't get nothing but a positive response from all that. And we've been working hard on that, and I've been seeing the progress on this. That's why it's important, the welfare of the people. We had certain situations where, you know, of course, you're around the mess here, so you're going to always be dealing with some form of death and whatnot. And how you handle it. We had to deal with the family, and then you look at the food based on the condition of the family, that's how that genaz is going to go. Majority time is always the finance problem. Majority time. But circumstances happen. Things happen beyond our control. One situation we had a brother, you know, his insurance policy didn't mature, was a month away from mature. And then you could have just go ahead and dealt with whatever financial thing he had, the way he had it set up. But it didn't come in. So we had to make a decision. You know, you really appeal to the community and tell them why. Tell them why. So when the people buy into things, they know what they're buying into. They know what they're dealing with. You're not just sitting here and playing on sentimental emotion, give them a song and dance. No, no. Be honest with them. Fair. That's the whole part of being fair and earnest. And then we look at everything based on how we deal with everything. That's what we want. That's what the camaraderie, that's the structure we want to build in around the next year where we can come in and we can sit down at a table and we can discuss anything that we want, anything. As long as we have a proof. When we come in and you got a shooting from the hip, and you putting your will down on everybody, it's going to be chaotic. It's going to be chaotic. And I always share, if something goes smooth in anything that we do, somebody knew what they was doing. And if it's chaotic, somebody either don't know what they're doing or up to something no good. And this is how we go about doing this here things. And the law show you things that for you to pay attention to. We all get things that the law shows us that we have to pay attention to. It's just like listening to a public speaker or something like that. And like our Imam Muhammad said, when you listen to that public speaker, you listen for the things that's going to help you, the things that you can deal with. You don't take the whole, you want to listen to the whole sermon or whatnot, conversation, and you're going to try to remember the whole conversation. No, you take out what you can deal with, what you understand. And then you got a positive response from that person that you talk to because you got something from it. And now you can utilize, put it in there, because the Lord said we made us all different so we can learn from each other, so we can learn from anybody. You can be a man that's way in your 70s and listen to a 7-year-old kid. You can learn from them. if you listen. The key is listen, giving our attention to the person who you listen. And this is what we hear, the Block Talk Radio, and what we want here is let's listen to each other. Just listen and see what we're talking about. We appeal to the people for questions, suggestions. I'm always open for that. I'll listen to it. Sometimes you might not agree with it, but that's fine. But the key is that when you listen to a person, you listen to that person. That's that person per se. Not what they're saying or how they say, but you listen to the things that they, whatever they're saying, they like almost like introducing themselves to you through their conversation. This is how we go about getting things done. And then you know what you're dealing with here. Well, I know what I got here. And then it's easy to form a criteria how we can go about doing anything based on what you got. Now, you're going to come in and you're going to put your will on everybody. You know, you have some people like to put their will on you, overpower you, you know, and then leave you hanging. No, no. That's out there. This is why the religion is very, very important, because it neutralizes everybody across the board. What we build around what Allah says. Like I said last week, when I was on Hajj, we had over 200 on Hajj. And the only thing we had in common was La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, because our culture was different. Our language was different. Our appearance was different. Our complexion was different. But what we had Allah. And we can identify with what Allah wants. I look like we have a hand, huh? What is that? 267-781. Your mic. Oh, come on. Your mic is open. Speak your name and where you calling from. Your mic is open, 267-781. Your mic is open. Okay, 267, I'm closing your mic. All right, we back to, you know, the welfare of the people. Again, nobody cares about the people. We the only ones talking about the welfare of the people. I remember when the people were mentioning to Imam Bilal, well, you might have toned the people down to the people because the people is not ready for this and that. No, no. When Prophet Muhammad said, I was the man, were the people ready for him? No. He had the voice. He had the stand. He took all the ridicule from them. But he took to stand because he was for there. He was for the people. He wasn't for himself. He was for himself. He got away from them a long time ago. Quick. I get up, pack up, and roll. But no, he's for the people. And then when you're dealing with the people, you have to withstand, you understand, their uncommonly confrontation, of course. You have to appeal to them. Allah, that's what I mean by it's not just you. If it was you, you'd left. But Allah in you. Allah said, no. I'm going to test you. I'm going to test you with your patient persevering in your prayers. With every hardship going heat. In other words, you're going to catch hell then. Yeah. So you have to prepare yourself to catch, to deal with the drama with it. You can't be afraid of it. I remember we sitting there with the people with the family of one of the deceased army. And, you know, they were saying, oh, man, their family is rough. Yeah, we were grassroots people. So we always were. We've seen that before. And when you sit down and you sit there, and I said, yeah, they must, but they will. But if you go by the appearance, it might scare you. But if you already know what you're looking at, the Lord prepared us for everything. Man, hey, hey, how you doing? Yeah, yeah, nice outfit you got on. You know, but I'm just saying, we already seen it before. How are you going to be afraid of something you already saw if you knew? That's all part of life. And that's what the Lord has created us, prepared us to deal with our people. Those African-American descendants of slaves. And every time a lot of people, oh, you got to get away from the African-American descendants of slaves. No. Because it's the purpose of that Allah has showed a world that that's we were talking about Bilal and how we became Bilalians. And Allah, we have that identity with Bilal, but from with the things he went through, he accumulated, and his stand was do what Allah says, stand up for him. The mercy of Allah. That was blessed. And here's our people. We have to stand up for Allah, what Allah wants. That's why Imam Muhammad wound up calling us Bilalians, or naming us Bilalians. And I can accept that wholeheartedly because when I sit at the table with the, as they say, the Egyptians, Pakistanians, and the Arabians, I'm a Bilalian. Huh? Yeah, I'm a Bilalian. What you go read the story about a Bilal. Go read that story. I can point it right in there. That is my style. Now I understand why we Bilal picked that name too. I can identify with them because I had experience with all the people that encountered it. So I understand. I know what I'm looking at now. So hey, these are our people. When the people come with the questions of, well, how are we going to clean our life up? How are we going to get knowledge of ourselves? How are we going to get learn about worshiping Allah? We have the answer for them because we done came through that. The welfare of the people. We have to be there for the answers for the people, just like you have to be there for the answers for your family when they come with questions. You have to be there for them. We the imam on those topics there. We the one is out front, the one in charge. And we have to respect that, but we have to digest it. Because as the sister said, again, in her comment, opening comments, we can remake the world together. And I can relate. And that day, every time I hear, I really enjoy it. It sounds even more and more because I understand what she's talking about, what she's saying. And it's just a matter of we just have to do. But the first thing to start with, you make it yourself first. Nothing can't get around nothing. Everybody, we sit here and we're looking at, and everybody talking what Allah says in its Quran, and how Allah done blessed them and all, but then when it comes time to showing, sharing what Allah said from the Quran, we come up shooting blanks. Mm-hmm. We come up with excuses. Not in for the excuses. This is not the time for that. We're going to establish what Allah wants in ourselves. Then we have to show society what we understand. And the first thing was that there was this halal industry do for self. And this is why Imam Bilal told us we got to unite, folks. We can't do nothing based on what Allah wants by ourselves. It's been meant to work together. As I said earlier, we were moving individually. You have the tendency to overexert yourself because you don't have nothing to check you. We were working as one. We checked each other. How did we check each other? We stay in each other's lane. We stay in our lane. And all you're responsible for is what you're supposed to do. When you're moving individually, you're responsible for a little bit of everything. And that's how you overexert yourself. Stay in our lane. Learn how to stay in our lane, and we can do our part. This is we can say common, but it's common sense, you understand, because that's how we have to digest the Islamic language, the language, and get the common sense out of it. Because that's what works, common sense. But we have to be sincere and be honest with ourselves. We can't sit here and like play both ends of the stick. You have to be all the way in, or you should be all the way out. And if we're still running around individually, we're only going to be subject to our weakness. And that's what society is controlling, the masses of the people through their weakness. They sit up here, the guy, I was talking to my brothers and all of them, he might happen to be incarcerated. Good guy. Get his shirt off his back. But he had got exploited by his weakness. And he's constantly trying to amend from his weakness. But that's moving individually. That's why, again, I mean, you know, when Imam Bilal set up this and the strategy, I can't help it but the praise and respect, because it worked. I know it worked. I know it's what we need. There's no doubt in my mind. He used to fight with other imams, I'm saying, other imams from other areas in there with what he had to say. He been presenting this, but easy, since 95. Easy. And they would blow him off. Oh, yeah, that's just your opinion. You don't know nothing. Yeah, I can do this here better. I've seen it from the top. But I do know everything starts from the top. And if it's messed up, because those messed it up at the top. Not the bottom people, the people, the grassroots people, they didn't mess this up. So it's our responsibility to inform the people, to share. If you want to free them up, you want to free the people up, free their consciousness. Don't have a ball and chain around their neck. Walking around, they're worthless to you. Free them up. And you can see, and then you will realize what you have in the people. Free them up. Freedom, justice, and equality. And I'm sure we the only one was talking about that. I'm talking about the descendants of, or the legacy of the Imam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam Muhammad, and our soul prophet Muhammad. We the ones, the only one talking to that, looking out for the wealth of the people. Everybody else is in, or what's going on around the world. You know, it's money to be made. It's votes to be getting. You know, but nobody say nothing about the people. But as I said too early, society is not on that level. They're not thinking about the people. They want to use the people to get whatever they want, but they're not thinking. And that's all I want. When we sit here and we bring things to your attention here at the Halal Industry, we want you to think with us. Think with us. That's why we ask. Think. We want to see if we can all get on the same page, even though we are different in personality. But we still want to get on the same page based on what Allah wants, not based on what I want. Again, we're going to be successful. Allah's going to be, we're going to be, because why? We strive. Our direction is towards halal. That's how I know we're going to be successful. Whether I'm here or not to see it, I know that's going to happen. Because that's right in the course with the law wants. And one thing I do know about him, he always prepares you for things before he put it on you. So, yes, everything will come from him, yes. But in the meantime, we're being prepared for whatever mission he has for us. How do you name Muhammad? He said, we're born for this mission. I said, go ahead, man, with your bad self. You know? And I really enjoyed that, you understand, because this is progressive. We want to talk progressive. I listen to, you know, a lot of people, everybody's different, like I said, and they all come from their own direction, and I always respect that. You always got to hear from me, you understand? But I want to take everything that which you could say, the good, whatever, and I'm going to make something happen for those who come behind us, not for those who today. I'm worrying about the ones that's going to come tomorrow. I can look back and see what not to do. But looking ahead, we got the ingredients, the power to move ahead, to establish anything we want because we have a program. Everything is moving towards halal. We done come out of the midst of all this haram thing. We're surrounded by nothing but haram now. Okay. We can deal with that. But we have to unite. Unite. Then we can do for self. And then we can reveal our model community. That's what we want, man. This is what we were built for. We want to continue. We want to sit up here. Yeah, you want to give a I call it spiritual talk, and I respect all that. Let's go do the Juma. Be a continue at the Juma. Here, we want to make this happen. We want to build this. We want to put this thing together and make it work. Plan what we work want, and do what we plan. That's what we want. This is what the time is for. Right now, we're going to take a PSA, and we'll be right back with you.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum, James Bashir of the Halal Energy Do For Self. I'd like to read from the 8th surah of the Quran, ayahs 1, 2, 3, and 4. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, most merciful, they ask thee concerning things taken as spoils of war. Say, such spoils are the disposal of Allah and the messenger. So fear Allah and keep straight the relations between yourselves. Obey Allah and his messenger if ye do believe. For believers are those who, when Allah is mentioned, feel a tremor in their hearts. And when they hear his signs rehearsed, find their faith strengthened and put all their trust in their Lord, who establish regular prayers and spend freely out of the gifts we have given them for sustenance. Such in truth are the believers. They have grades of dignity with their Lord and forgiveness and generous sustenance. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc. and co-host James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Zinc is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments, excuse me, at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, visit am360.org, Pan Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Brother James, that's James Bashir, our political analyst. We'll be back with you later on in the program to share his view. And to come back to our welfare of the people, we got to start looking at the people and not away from them. The way things here, especially in all the inner cities, they all is off. The streets are terrible. They're doing everything under the sun. Yes, they are. But again, Allah has already conditioned us. Again, we came from the same grassroots people that what's going on out there. We migrated from them. And I remember when we came back from the nation, the nation of Zion, we could always walk right back down in the same people and among all the madness. We could do that because we are from them. One thing a little brother told me the other day, he was talking about somebody else. He was talking about Imam Bilal, but he said, "But you, Nate, you one of us." And I'm sitting up here, "What do you mean one of us?" You know? It threw me off for a little minute, but I thought about it, and then I realized what he was talking about. What happened, down the old neighborhood, and when you come down there, I've known these young guys, and then I know the older guys that came up with me. But him and that young guy was in a dispute, and by me knowing both of them, I went to them one-on-one at a time and told them, "Y'all can't go, you can't do this. You all mean more to us in the neighborhood than anything. And if we had each other's throat, that's going to look bad for the neighborhood, plus all the young ones coming up behind you all going to take a look at us." And they said, "Okay, all right." So I went back and I grabbed both of them. "Come on." And I said, y'all gotta mend this. You understand? You ain't gotta love each other. You ain't gotta be all hunky dory. But you gotta stop this siege, this new battle, because the neighborhood knew that there was a difference between you two. A difference that y'all was against each other. And they did. And it resolved everything from that. And everything calmed down. So that's why when he said, "Oh, you one of us," you know, you can relate to us, the young ones, and you can relate to the old ones. And keep us from each other's throat. But this is what Allah wants us to do. This is what we've been trained or conditioned to. Go back among the people and share the wealth with them. Be that leader. Be that example for them. This is what, as the man, like I said, this is what we was born for. We don't say, the people tell you if you are a bum, low down, shady, grady, the people will tell you. And if you're upright and the people appreciate your pants, they tell you. They used to always tell us, Mr. Nation, I really would like when you guys come around, because y'all present your appearance and you, what you always have something good for the people. I appreciate that. And that's what we have to do as far as the welfare of the people, to rise them up under all these trying times. And not saying that the trying times are not going to get worse, but whatever time we get, again, we've been prepared for it. With that, I got the professor, the face of the halal industry, Brian Ali.
Assalamualaikum. And as always, I thank the brothers for allowing me to come on and add my two cents. And I guess with inflation, it's up to a nickel now.
Yeah.
So let me add my nickel to the conversation. And I was listening, as I hope most of you were listening to what the brothers were saying. And most of you, he was focusing on unity and how do we unify. So my word of the day today will be focus, because that's where I think we're lacking in doing what's necessary to join on to each other. See, unity must have the same focus. And what is focus? Focus is concentrated attention. We must focus. What are we going to focus on? For the believers, it's focus on your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Others may be focusing on their fears. If you focus on your faith, you will gain more faith. You will do things to increase your faith. If you focus on your fears, you will retard your growth, and you will almost be paralyzed from committing to do things and not even stepping up to the plate when it's time to do things. He mentioned earlier that we're not progressing. We're trying to grow spiritually, but we're not growing in action. Our prayers should lead us to action, because Allah will motivate you with action by answering your prayers. And the prayers are answered. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is not right now.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to accept the answer by not just submitting our will, but surrendering our will. When you surrender your will, you haven't given it up. You've turned it over to something higher than you. And that will get you what you need to have. And what we need more than anything is focus in this political climate. What are we doing now? We're being told what to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
We need to decide what we're going to focus on. We should turn and say, this is what I'm focused on, a better living condition for me and mine. We should be telling the politicians that come to us, talking about, you got to focus on this and this and this. No, we're going to tell you what our focus is and ask you, how are you going to address our concerns? The wealthy do that all the time. Politicians want to choose for you what your focus should be on, while the wealthy tell politicians what their focus should be. And then they in turn come to you and try to get you to focus like the wealthy have told them to focus, so you have those concerns. They're telling you to focus. You're focused on immigrants. You should be focused on the drugstores, CVS, and Rite Aid leaving your neighborhood and leaving you without prescription medicine that could enhance and even save your life. You should be worried about that. You should be focused on that. What will you do if that takes place? You're worried about immigrants, but you should be worried about acne and Superfresh and the grocery stores, the supermarkets leaving your neighborhoods because it's no longer feasible for them to be in your neighborhood. They can't make a profit in your neighborhood, and they leave. And now, instead of going a block or two, you have to go maybe 10 or 15 miles to get nutrients to sustain you. You eat or you die. You must eat. Now you get the picture. Your focus should be on what is best for you. No one should be able to come in and tell you what to focus on. You have to decide for yourself. You have to choose your focus or you will lose your focus. How have we been losing our focus? Because we've been told time and again, over and over, what to focus on. We've been told time and again, over and over, who to like and who to dislike, where we can live and where we can't live, what we should study in school, what we should tell our children, what are we telling our grandchildren. We are told to focus on things that are important to someone else and not us. Wow. Your focus is in the right, wrong place, and that is where all your attention is going. When you focus on something, again, according to Webster, focus is concentrated attention. You have concentrated and focused on a particular thing. But when you concentrate and focus correctly, you remove the issues that are hampering you from progressing. And we should progress. Focus on your problems. Focus on the solutions. Don't focus on the disease that has captured you right now. Focus on health and wellness, and you can overcome the disease. Don't focus on your bills, even though we got bills and we want to know how we're going to pay the bills. Focus on your finance and structuring in such a way that when the bills come, you can pay the bills. But if you're focused on the bills, you'll just have more bills. If you focus on your disease, you will get sicker and sicker because you're not focused on getting well. You're focused on being sick. Oh, man, I'm so sick. I'm just so sick. I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't focus on all the problems that you have. Problems come and go. Problems are the test of life. Problems are the obstacles. No, problems are the way of life. Those things you think are in your way, they are the path to your well-being. They are the tests that put before you to test you so that you can prove you are worthy of the things you're asking for. Don't focus on the problems. Focus on the solutions to the problems. Sit down with other people who have similar problems. Focus on what are we going to do. We know what the problem is. We all got problems. Ain't that right, brother?
Yes, sir.
We all got problems. What are we going to do about the problems should be our focus. If you don't focus, you can never do for self. Because you will never unite with other people who have the same mindset. And when we get the unity that we're talking about, it crushes the problems.
Mm-hmm.
It destroys the problems. We'll say, oh, man, they're difficult. We do that right away. The impossible might take us a minute. Because now you're focused on where you want to go and not where you are. I mean, you got to be where you are. I understand that. But what are you focusing on to get to where you need to be? When you get in your car, do you look in the rearview mirror? Of course you do. You want to see what's behind you. But once you start driving, you're looking through the windshield, and you're looking to where you're going. Think about that. That's where your focus should be. Your focus should be on what you want, not what you don't want. We always talking about what we don't want. Man, I don't want to be late. Man, I don't want to go here. I hate going here. Man, she make me sick. I don't even want to be around them. But focus on why am I here? If it's school, I'm here to get an education. If it's work, I'm here so that I may finance my family's well-being. Focus on what you're doing, why you're doing it, and not on the trivialities that go along with this life. They've subjected us over and over, time and time again, to nonsense and have us focusing on the nonsense that is around. You're more focused on the game last night than what is happening in your child's school. So now we have schools being locked down because someone's threatening to blow them up. We have people who don't even want to be in school yet are teaching the school. We have people setting up the curriculum because they're looking to promote themselves and not to educate the children that are there, even though those are the future of every society are the children that are now in elementary and junior high and high school and in the colleges around the country. They are the ones who will take the reins in a short period of time to tell us where we're going as a community, as a neighborhood, as a state, as a country. Are you willing to focus? Or are you just letting them do the 52 fake out? Now people are coming to us and making noises about absurdities. But if they can get you to believe absurdities, they can get you to commit atrocities. And now you see, after pronouncing an absurdity about eating pets, now there are bomb threats in the schools in Ohio. Think about that. This is the nonsense that we've been putting up with because we refuse to focus on what's real, what's important, what's necessary. And so the devil, oh, church people say that, oh, the devil's on the rampage. No, the devil just got you to refocus on what he wants you to focus on. As he got our father Adam to focus on something he wants to focus on. If you focus on the fruit of that tree that you were told, don't eat that, and you're constantly, oh, man, wait, eat that, man, wait. You eat that tree, man, you're going to be like God. You forgot that you were told to focus on this avowed enemy and treat him like an enemy. But again, over and over, again and again, you move your focus away from the object, away from the goal, and their goal becomes your goal, and now you don't even know why you do what you do. You don't even know why you say what you say. You don't even know why you're voting for the person that you're pulling the lever for, because someone else has decided for you what the goal is. Your focus needs to be correct. As we get older, and I ain't deliberately just looking at Brother Nate, we decide that all of a sudden we can't see so well, you know?
Yeah.
Something is in the distance, like, what is that? So we go to the optometrist, ophthalmologist, get eye test, and he says, oh, you got astigmatism. I can correct that. What is he doing? He's bringing things back into focus. Because without the proper eyesight, you see things in the wrong way. You're driving the wrong way on the road. You can't read the stop sign. You go right through the intersection. You must have correct vision, which will give you correct focus, and you will know where to go and why you're going there. If you refuse, like some people do, they say, oh, man, I don't need no glasses. I can see perfectly clear. And drive right off the road, right into the creek, and can't figure out why they ended up in the creek. Focus is so vital that the shaitan will try to avert your attention with sport and play so you do not focus on what's vital and important and significant to you and your family, to you and those you love and who love you. If you're not focused properly, he can cause dissension in your household, among people who profess to love each other, at your work, people who are supposed to cooperate and work with each other. He can have people come to you and pretend to be your friend and your sincere advisor while stabbing you in the back all the time. And then saying, what are you talking about, man? Nah, man, I'm your boy. What are you talking about? And now you hurt, and now all you want to do is retaliate instead of fixing the problem. Focus on the solution, and you will no longer have the problem. But if you keep focusing on the problem, you will just have more problems. It's the way it works. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just trying to ask you to maintain your focus. In this political climate now, they're trying to get you to focus on things that you normally don't focus on. And it may come in another 2 years, another 4 years, when it's election time again, and then they need you to focus again on that. And so they make promises to you. of all they're going to do for you. And they don't even try to pretend like they're the best candidate. They just tell you how awful the other guy is. And so you begin to focus on his shortcomings and what he did in this year and that year. Focus on what you need from these politicians, regardless of whether it's city council, the Senate, state Senate, U.S. Senate, the legislature, the president, the mayor, whoever it is. Concentrate on what you need them to do and then hold them accountable so that they can no longer say, oh, man, I promised you that. I'm going to do that for you. And in 4 years, they didn't do a thing. And like Michael Jackson said, you haven't done nothing. We're sick and tired of hearing the song. And Stevie Wonder said, he said, we're sick and tired of hearing the song, how you're going to change right from wrong. Because if you really want to hear our view, you haven't done nothing. Nothing. But they song and dance. They shuck and dive. They do this and that. And because they look like they're doing something. The hamster on the wheel looks like he's moving, Jack, moving, 40 going north. And when he stops, he's in the same place he was when he began. Maybe he got a little exercise. But how many thin hamsters you seen? Not many. All I'm saying to you today, this day, if I can't come on anymore and say anything else, I want you to do this for me. Focus on what you want. Focus on where you are. Focus when anybody asks you for their to give you or for you to give them your undivided attention. Make sure when you respond to them, they giving you their undivided attention. If not, do they really deserve your attention? You need to tell politicians who come to you asking for your vote, this is what I need done. This is how I feel about this situation and that situation. What are you going to do? And after the election comes, see and rate them on how they perform what you said, what they promised you, did they deliver? If they couldn't deliver, there may be a reason, but make them announce the reason. People need evidence in a court of law. They should have to give you evidence when they come to you asking you for things, asking you to participate, asking for your vote, asking for you to put them in positions of authority and power. And you should remember, while you do that, you're still paying them. Every politician you see, you have paid. And yet they act as though they're doing you a favor by answering the phone. They're doing you a favor by coming to the town meeting. They are employed by you and your taxes, but they're acting as though they owe you nothing and you owe them just for showing up. Isn't that incredible? When you think about it, isn't that incredible? Somebody whose salary is being paid by your hard slave work ethic. You working two jobs and a part-time job on the weekend, and then they're going to talk down to you in a condescending tone? Well, you don't understand politics. You don't understand how these things get legislated. You don't understand the procedures necessary. Then tell them to me. Start investigating what these particular jobs, that are they qualified for them? Well, we don't know because we don't know what the job really is. We don't know what the legislatures and what they're doing and how they vote. That should be broadcast. We don't know where they're going and when they're doing things that aren't on the dime but spending your dime anyway. That should be noted. We thought the Supreme Court was so high and noble, and now we're finding out that they could be bought too. Wow. You got friends in high places, you can get things done. I thought they had better ethics. Not that I thought the Supreme Court was all that supreme, but I thought they had things in place to make them more untouchable than they are. And now you're hearing about them going on vacation with their billionaire friends and their friends buying them houses and things like that. How are you going to tell them no after they done bought your mama a house? Come on. And let her live there for free. How are you going to tell them no if he comes to you with a request? You can't. It's almost impossible. If they get a change of heart all of a sudden and grow a conscience all of a sudden, well, they'll tell them, you still want to be senator next election. You still want to be governor, don't you? They'll put up a candidate to go against them in the primary just to teach them a lesson. They'll do things or make them do things to show their control over them. We've got to get to the point where the politicians that we select, or rather that we elect, are not the ones that they selected. See, they select certain people to run in certain campaigns because they want them to do for them what they tell them to do. We try to elect candidates that have our best interests at heart, but if you were to call them after they win the election, you can't get them on the phone. But the billionaire can get them on the phone. The billionaire can call them at home and call them late, and he dare not be available. What's that telling you? Focus. Because when you focus and you get together with other people who have a similar focus, you can get things done. When you hear a person clap, it's kind of sad. And sometimes it's a facetious thing, like, oh, let me clap for him because he meant, I'm not really clapping for you, but, you know, I'm clapping, all right. But when you're in a stadium, when you're at a concert, and you hear thousands of people clap, now it roars like thunder. Big difference. Big difference. Huge difference. That's the significance of unity. That's what Brother Nate Muhammad was and has been trying to exhort you to understand the power of unity. Set aside our personal differences, set aside our little idiosyncrasies, and start uniting for a common focused goal. If we do not, again, if you do not choose your focus, you will lose your focus. Then you will begin to focus on whatever they said focus on. Look at the commercials right now. The commercials, at least a third, if not more, are for medications or prescribed medications. Different things. Yeah, but they're for things that you didn't even know you had. Your leg fell asleep. Oh, man, I got to see the doctor about this. But before you would just, you know, stomp your foot, your leg would wake up. Medications, like they said, have side effects that sometimes are worse than what you medicated for. But your focus is on your pain. And your focus is not on your health. You're looking for instant gratification. You're looking for instant relief. The disease didn't happen in an instant. It took time. The cure, if there is one, will take time. What they're doing is medicating you over time, because guess what? The cure costs one price and one price only. But treatment can go on for decades. Focus on what's for you. Focus on what's right for you. Focus on what you need and focus on what you want. It's not selfish at all. It's the way you were designed. But you have an avowed enemy, and his major concern, major focus is to take you off the focus that you were designed for and get you to focus on trivialities. You're watching The Real Housewives or this or that place, and they dripping with diamonds and got husbands that make millions of dollars. They're not even housewives. It's all phony. It's all fake. But you crying crocodile tears. Oh, I can't believe these. And now she's having such a trouble because, oh, my. And they got nannies and maids and nurses. They got people who drive them around. And they have the nerve to call themselves housewives. It's to remove your focus off of yourself and what you need and put your focus on something that's artificial and fake. Artificial and fake. If we don't understand where we're going, if we don't know why we're going there, it's evident that you've lost your focus. I want to leave you with one word and one word only. And that is, I want you to, when you're feeling that you're out of focus, say the word to yourself, focus. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're praying and you're in your prayer and then you're like, you start thinking about, well, you know, later on tonight I got to do this and then as soon as this is over I got to get back to work. You had Jumu'ah prayer, you had church service and you're still trying to think about what you got to do later. And if you gently just say to yourself, focus. You'll bring yourself back to center. Square one. And now you know what you need to do and you'll execute. And every time you move away, move back by just saying one word. Focus. And you'll be all right. I appreciate the time these brothers have given me, and I want to turn the program over back to your host, Honorable Nathan Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
That was mine, Ali, our professor, broke down focus. And we really appreciate it because we have a different kind of personalities on this panel that we are talking, and we'd be glad to bring and let everybody share their wealth with each other. And that's what we want. This is building camaraderie among ourselves, and we look forward to the comments. But we're going to take a PSA, and you can let you digest the focus that Brian is talking about. So, and we'll be back with James with his political analysis.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. James Bashir of the Halal Industry Do For Self. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, visit am360.org, Pan Corporation Community Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. Again, since this is the political season, and then we all need to just focus on what's going on in the political world. We have people running for political office. No matter what you may think about them, whoever wins these particular offices, they're gonna have some say in what dictates your life to a certain extent. Some of the policies that the proposals. See, now is the time you have to, you have to question them and see if their policies that they have, their agenda, the things they want to get accomplished. Does their policy or agenda fit what's best for you? So, and this is all throughout the all over the country. Not only just the president of the United States, the presidential election, you got U.S. senators that are up for re-election, congressmen. Now, if whoever wins the presidency, now if their party don't control the U.S. Senate and the U.S. Congress, certain things they won't be able to accomplish. It's going to get stalled. Now, certain things they can do, that's going to pose a problem. So, and I say that to say this here, I'm holding someone accountable. You have to take that in consideration. Same thing if a governor, whoever it is, could be Democrat, Republican, Independent, those who control both houses, the Senate and the state houses, it's the state Senate and the General Assembly, State House of Representatives. If their party, whoever is the governor, if he's a Democrat or Republican or whatever, if the party he's from, if they don't control both houses, then things can get stolen. You know, that's being the real world. You know, so you have to look at this is a really you really got to look at all that. That don't mean you still hold them accountable, but you got to look at now if certain policies. If the things he want to get done that's best benefiting you has been blocked in the state of the president. If it's blocked in the Congress, because that comes to the Congress first, then it goes to the Senate. Now, if it's blocked in the Congress, then the bill won't even come out. You know, one of the things won't get done. For example, a good case of point, Barack Obama, former President Obama. He basically couldn't get too much done because everything was blocked in the Congress and the Senate. Done on purpose, but I'm just giving you an example. So in this election, no matter where you're at in the country, certain states, not only have a presidential election, but also you have U.S. Senate election, congressional election, General Assembly, state representatives, the state senators. Then some cities got all the way down to school board. You got to watch some school boards are elected around the country. So you have to, again, that's closest to you. You know, you want to, they take what's going on in your school. So the whole thing is you just have to, as we use this word today, focus. Because look at all these people that are running. And focus on what they're saying, what they are proposing to do for the country. Yeah, so we got some very serious problems. Now we go to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's the president can nominate someone for the Supreme Court, but if his party, if
his party is not in the majority, then that nominee won't even go to the Supreme Court for consideration. Again, President Obama was a good example. Everything was blocked because they Republicans controlled the House and the Senate. Now you can maybe do some executive action, you know, certain things, but still, there was some of the main things that he said he's going to do couldn't get done. I'm just saying to say this here: when this election is over, when it comes to accountability, that's the next part, and you're right by doing it, and should do that. Once you get whoever you voted for, once they get in the office, that's the first part. Participate in electing the people that you think are going to do the best for you. Okay, once they win and get in, the next part is holding them accountable. And locally, it was the mayor. You have to do the city council meetings. See what the city council is doing. If it's a state senator, you have to find out when she's having meetings. You got to go down to his or her office and find out are there any community meetings that are being planned, or find out what they are doing. Or you can go to Harrisburg. You go to Harrisburg for the General Assembly meeting for the State House and the State Senate. You still, you want to have some, but even if you go there, you want to have some one-on-one with your representative. See, this is a whole. This is a very serious election because whoever is the next president, he or she probably will. I mean, it'll be a he. Excuse me. They will probably have. Of course, a lot of the best of known. They may have a chance to nominate two more Supreme Court justices. It's a very strong possibility. But speaking on that, one thing I will say between the two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, when it comes to the Supreme Court, I have to give the Republicans a nod. I have to get them the edge because they strategically work to make sure they get their people on the court. I mean, they will hold out even if they're sick or they're in retirement age. They'll hold out until a Republican president becomes president. He probably want to retire 5 years ago, but he'll wait. If Democrats in office, they'll wait until Republicans get in office for every time, so Republicans can remain control. And may not agree with that, but those are the type of things. But I kind of expect that in a way, yeah. But those that's how they that's one of the reasons why they got a majority on the Supreme Court. Because it's some very serious cases going to be coming before them for the Supreme Court. Right now, the conservatives, the Republicans have a majority on the court. So a lot of things, that's why with this immunity case with the former President Trump, he has complete immunity. I mean, he has immunity if it's something that he's done while he was president. You know, yeah. So almost like complete immunity for him, but with that Supreme Court, because whenever it goes before it, they ruled in his favor, yet they haven't ruled against him yet. So, but all that is that we just have to, the voting is important, and holding these people accountable is also, that's the next part, is also important. Now, when the early voting has started, so I encourage everybody to vote early. Just get it out the way. You've done your job. Now, I'll say this here. There's no way you should be standing long lines. But here in Philly, in Pennsylvania, and we don't have to worry about that too much. But certain states, the Republican Party, they really so afraid of losing that they try to make it hard for people to vote. You got to stand in line 5 or 6 hours. Shouldn't be that way. Should not be that way. You could go all that just to vote. But again, that means you have to, if you're in a state where that's going on, you have to really, those people that are doing that, you have to vote them out. And that's your state senate and the general assembly doing that. So we just have to, you have to really do your homework and participate in the process and make your choice, you know.
or you think it's going to do the best job for you. But once you do it, and then hold the people accountable. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, that was James Bashir, our political analyst. And we appreciate your comments, Brother James, to help move everything forward. We'd like to request, if anyone have a question, statement, suggestion, feel free. Feel free to push the one on your phone and your hand go up. We'll put you on as soon as possible. And we want to just get back to our conversation, what we started out with, for the welfare of the people. You heard the comments from James about trying to educate the people in how the judicial system grow. And we also had Brian on the focus on everything we want to do in order to establish the criteria that we're striving for or working for. And this is important. That is important. That's why I was saying we the one, again, want to be the champion for the people. We go back at Muhammad Ali, the champion for the people. What he did, he defied the system, and that's how he won the respect from the people. Wasn't from in the ring. It was his criteria that he accomplished of the system, how the system did he roam, and he had the heart to stand up to it. And the common sense. He suffered. He struggled. He suffered for it. He paid for it, you know, financially wise. But the stand, he had to take a stand. This is what I mean by we have to take a stand for our own welfare. We have to take a stand. And if we right, we got to fight. If we wrong, we got to go get right and come back to fight. But we have to lead with what the law wants first. We can't. The best thing to fight with is fighting with what the law says. Because it appeals to the consciousness of the man. You old physically and all that, you trying to intimidate him and overpower him with fear. But we come with common sense. This is how we have to go about dealing with this society. This is why whole life is built around that, the common thing. We have to deal with the common thing. We can't deal with, as Brian was talking about, the billionaire with the Supreme Court, adjusted judge hanging out with the billionaires. We're not fortunate enough like that. We have to deal with the grassroots people, the down to earth or downtrodden. Okay, very good. Yeah, that's Brian. Yeah, you know. But this is what we have to do. And one thing we have on our side is the law, God, and we should move forward. You don't want to dwell on the everyday problem because they are created through and from a haram atmosphere or a haram disposition. That's been created for you, and it's meant for you to struggle and confuse it. Now you're going to struggle, you understand, even if you're not confused, because the law said you're going to be challenged. But you also have a way of how you want to deal with those challenges. You don't be at the mercy of everything, ready to throw the towel in. Now you got something to strive for. Well, the law says we do it this way, hold fast, and we pray and ask him for strength to come. We're going to be successful because he's going to. He's always going to come through for us, whether we know it or not, you understand, and whether we recognize or not. Yeah, you know, because a lot of time we don't recognize. Man, when do the help of Allah comes? Yeah, but it comes, we don't even see it. But when we do see it, we know when we look at it. We know it when we see it. Now that's a lost thing, you know. And the majority of time, the help comes when another problem arises, and if you done overcame one, and there's another one sitting there waiting on you.
But sometimes the answer is yes,
and
or it might be yes, but not right now.
Yeah.
It might be. I got something better for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but that's how we're going to have to deal with all this. Yeah, that's how we got to deal with it. And we have to appeal to each other. You understand? Look to each other for help. That's why we build a camaraderie. That's why we can extend the invitation for anybody if you have something to say. If whatever is on your mind. I don't sit here and I like listening to people. Like I said earlier, they introduce themselves to me when I listen to them. That's how I read it. And I can appeal to them and I can share, you understand, their concern with it because I can see it. I just hear it. And that's what I look at. I look forward to questions and statements, whether you know, yeah, it's negative or what. It doesn't bother me. You understand? Long as you're sincere. And if you're sincere, I can accept it. And then we can correct and we can upgrade anything that it is because we can see it. The brother told me today, I asked a question. Oh, we can ask questions around here? I said, I always ask questions. Might not get the answers, but I always ask questions. And we have to extend that freedom, you understand, to ask your questions. You know, not be a rebel riser, but to be sincere. You have a legitimate question, okay, alhamdulillah. You know, sometimes we got to get stuff off our chest that's bothering us. And only how you going to get it off if you talk, if you say it, and you put it in front of yourself, then you can see it. You're no longer feeling it. Now you're seeing it. And then it's out there. And then we can elaborate. Then we can deal with whatever we got to deal with. But we still have to, whatever, be ourselves. This panel here, like I said earlier, this is a panel, you know, that really was created by Imam Bilal. He the one brought us all together. And he the one said, look, you have anything to say? Say what you like. We all knew that it's in accordance with what we're trying to do. We talk in unity. We talk in do for self. We talk in a model community that we are, that those who before us spoke on. So we write in accordance with our legacy. We ain't changing. Ain't nobody different doing their own thing. Of course, everybody's different. I don't try to be like Brian, or Jan. I try to be myself, but I can learn from them. I can pick things up.
You're like me anyway.
Yeah, right. So, but that's what we got. That's what we got here. And it's a Hopeman atmosphere here that we want to invite everybody else to support. This is our program. This is a program for the people. This is not just a program. Our destination is the halal industry. Our destination, again, is we moving towards halal. Everything we want is halal. This is our destination. Regardless what you hear, how we hear, how they say it, our destination is being halal. That's the new thing that's going on. That's going to propel the people out of whatever bondage that they in. We have to strive for allow. In order for it to come allow, be allowed, we had to go through a little form or clean our life up. We got to get some order in our life. We got to get some direction how we're going to be about it in our life. And we have to establish a spirituality within our life. Then we can prepare to walk in a model community that we don't have to slip and slide around hook and crook you come in and lead out with what the Lord wants. Now, I believe it's going to take a real big minute. It's going to take a minute. I don't think I'll be around to see that. I don't think I'll be around to see that. But whatever it is, just like those who came before us, they said the same thing. I talked to a lot of the old pioneers, said the same thing. Brother Nate, all I want to see us work together. That's the same thing we're talking right now, unity. That's all they want to see is work together. But we have to stay in alliance with how Lord is moving. He the one controlling this. We're not controlling it. We just a pit stop. We just here to do what we got to do, establish what we have to do, and move on. We move on. That's all we do. We're here to do what he wants to do. We ain't here to do what I want. You know, he's in charge of this. I just want to understand it because that's something you can share. You can always share your understanding. Don't want to be all this power. Or you the partner. No, I'm still a humble servant. And I never get around. I get away from that. Because that's part of what the direction of the Lord bring us. And I've seen it. And I adjust my character to it. I usually deal with people. I adjust my character to them. I don't put my will on nobody. But at the same time, I don't let you put your will on me. So everything balanced out, two-way street, and we can get something done. We can sit down, we can talk. We can talk about what we want to do and how we want to do it. You take your will, take our will, we put it together, we make this happen. We pulling this here, we're unifying with a large name to build a model community. And it has to be through the halal industry where we, by doing for self, we're independent of everything that's around. That's what I see. I don't care what's going on in our society. I see it, but it's not deterring. And I'm staying focused on, as Brian said, staying focused on what the objective is. Our objective is to establish, to unify. That's the first line of defense, unify. And I told you when I first came on with Imam Bilal, I want to speak on the unified. I want to do that. And my whole conversation been all designed around unification. The things I bring to the table is what's stopping us from unifying. What I see was stopping us from unifying. Somebody else know something more? You're welcome to share. This is just what I see, you know. And then I can share. I share what I can see. I can't make you do nothing. I can only appeal to you. I can appeal to you sincerely. And then how we go about doing it. And or ask for your participation. Even if you want to call in, correct me. If that's the point, that's fine with me. I'm open. I'm serious. I'm open. You understand? Because I trust the law. Because I know I'm not just, it's just not me. It's the law. I'm only doing what the law wants. At the best of my ability, based on what I understand. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is only based on my experience. Mm-hmm. I can't be honest with you with that, more honest with you than anything. But at the same time, we're going to labor on. I mean, regardless of what happened, we rose, you know. I'll pick up whatever the slack is, I'll pick the thing. You know how the guy in your cavalry, the guy carrying the flag fall down, somebody come up and pick up the flag. Yeah, that's me. I'm picking it up. And if whatever, let's go. Let's charge in what we want to do. Because, again, and if the people were sitting here right now, we be revising a way of a strategy, how we going to make this happen, how we going to make it happen, based on what we have and what we know. That's all we can do. you know. And if anything, we want to do is we want to leave a criteria for those to come behind us, pick up right where we left off at, a structure. Because that's what those, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did, the Imam Muhammad did it. They left a structure for us to continue on. Prophet Muhammad, Shalom Wasalam, he did the same thing with for the people. The Imam left us and said, look, Imam Muhammad, we don't need nobody to teach us, you know, as far as the religion within it, as long as we lead with what Allah says and do things with sure, do sure. Yeah. That is real simple. That is a simple approach. You understand that, oh, that's all we need to do? Man, come on, man. We should be getting busy. People should be falling out of the walls and falling through the doors. But I know Allah's going to send them because I see it every day, that people, how people just pop up wanting to do this, concerned about that, want to know this. I see it every day. So I know, yeah, it's just a matter of time. Now, will we be there? I hope so. To help the structure, inshallah. It to help and build and establish the structure. Because the people are going to come hungry, and you're going to have to feed them. And you can only feed them with what the law has already presented to you. And through our experience. That is your greatest wealth. You know how in the street your experience is your best teacher. Yeah, definitely is. You might modify everything by having different terminologies, but it's saying the same thing is about your experience, about what you experience. And as they say about the mind is like a little computer. You have input, and there has to be an output. Time. Oh, let me go sleep on that. And then you wake up with a solution. Mm-hmm. Pops right in your head. Oh, that's how we go. And that's how a lot of things happen. I told you that the mind is a computer, and you have to feed it. That's why I say you have to use your mind. Think. And if we can sit down and think about what we want to do, put our personal differences aside. Because that's what's stopping us from unifying, our personal differences. Okay, I just hit a nerve with our professor here, and you know, because he's a breakdown artist, you know, and I enjoy his conversation. I enjoy him being, you know, because again, we bring a different flavor to the table. And it's a variety of things. Some people might not like what I say and how I do things and how I present it. And some vice versa might not like what he like. He brings.
We all love it.
Yeah, yeah. But that's normal. That is normal because everybody is not going to like you. I don't care what you do. Everybody ain't going to agree with you regardless what you do. So, you know, as long as you, again, find terms, stay focused on our approach. Once we get a game plan together, get our strategy together, we stay focused on it until we accomplish it. This is how we're going about doing this. All right, I got my
I just
want
to add something what you say.
Brian Ali again.
That's all. Real quick. I just want to say this, and he said the mind is a computer, and it's the mind that created the computer. The computer is just faster and analyzing things. But there's also a saying that goes with computers, and it says this: garbage in, garbage out. If you're not processing things correctly, the result you get from the equation that you want is going to be incorrect. Again, garbage in, garbage out. If you put the right information and the right evidence and the right statistical analysis in, you will get the proper answer. But a lot of us have been unfocused on what we're trying to get. So we're playing on a computer and on a social media on a computer, but we're not using it for its analytical capabilities and the ability to process things at a much faster rate than we can on our own. We have to actually go to sleep. The computer doesn't really have to go to sleep. It can process and process and process.
until infinity, you know, until the electricity goes out because you didn't pay the bill, whatever. But what I'm trying to say simply is this. An unfocused mind will get unfocused results. If you have a computer, you could have a supercomputer by the greatest minds and where around, but if you're just feeding it in with inconsequential things, and again, garbage in, garbage out, that's what you will get. Once you don't put the proper information in, you can never get the proper solution out of the computer, no matter how many gigs, no matter how many whatever it has, no matter how big a memory, no matter how fantastic it is. It could be a computer the size of a room, but it will still not give you the proper result because you have not put in, through input, the proper statistical analysis, the proper facts, the evidence necessary to come to a logical and clear conclusion to what you're trying to get. Your mind is the same way, and I'll leave you like this. Your mind is a computer in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
It can do computations, maybe not as quick as the computer, but it can do computations, and it is the thing that introduced or invented the computer itself. So take care in how you process things. Take care in what you allow into your mind, because, again, in your mind, garbage in, garbage out. The people who put and treat themselves to only silliness and inconsequential and irrelevant facts can only regurgitate back out inconsequential and irrelevant facts when you ask them to sit down and design a solution for the problems of the community or the problems of the world even. We have to get the serious people who do serious computations who can and who have developed their mind to the position where they can take in the facts, analyze the facts, and produce a solution. But now, because we need to be more expeditious, we need it in a speedier manner, we need to sit down with others who have information that we may not have so that we can get accurate, and accuracy is very important. Back in the day when there was gunslingers, they always talked about who was the fastest. But what they forgot to tell you was the fastest may not be the most accurate. He may have drawn his gun faster, but the guy slower was accurate in shooting, and he became a top gunslinger because he was accurate, not just speedy. Speedy is not always necessary. If you can get accuracy, you need and want accuracy. I say, again, garbage in, garbage out. Intellect in, even more intellect coming out. And if you sit down with those who have intellect, are unafraid to use intellect, you can combine and unify your efforts. And I know I've overused this word, but focus your efforts and come up with the conclusions that the world is waiting for. Because sometimes there is a solution, and we're just not seeing it. And we're being told that, oh, you don't want to do that, but that ain't the real solution, while all the time it is. And Quran is, God told us, there is a cure for every disease except old age. So why are we still having diseases? And they're still afflicting and killing people because there's a youngster in an impoverished school that can't afford to go to college and then on and become a biochemist or an engineering major, and he cannot sit down with the researchers and develop the cures for cancer and AIDS and things like that, debilitating diseases, because you didn't afford him the opportunity to develop his mind enough to produce the cure. And on the flip side, you have others who don't want a cure to be found because their treatment, which goes on for years and years and years, produces income, significant income. I said last week, Pfizer in 2023, I believe, made in profit not sales, $31 billion. Johnson & Johnson, $18 billion in 1 year, profit. Okay? That will impede the discovery of cures. Cure, give him a shot, give him a pill. We're done. Get the next one. Give him a shot, give him a pill. We're done. But treatment? Okay, look, you got to buy this prescription, and you got to take it twice a day, every day. And this goes on for months and years and years. And why don't we have a cure? Because a cure is not feasible for certain individuals. When you stop listening to us today, go look at your television and count the number of commercials that are for pharmaceuticals, that are for medications, and you'll see why we haven't developed cures for debilitating diseases. And they're finding new diseases, and they're finding no cures because it's not feasible for the big pharmaceutical companies to lose their billions of dollars in profit. Just so your grandma can get well? Just so your uncle can get cured of cancer? Just so an infant who has a debilitating, rare disease can't be cured because they overlook them, because they value profit over health, profit over people? That's the problem that we're having, and that's the problem we have to face, and that we can do, as James said, by paying attention to who's in authority. And when that authority does not do what you say, let's replace them with the proper authority. And that person will do the job that we pay them, because we, you, me, Nate, James, all of us taxpayers pay them to do a job that they're not doing. They're putting on performances instead of performing the job we pay them for. How is that possible when we, the people, are the ones who put them in the position, and yet they won't even answer our phone calls? We build up these companies by buying their product and buying their services, and yet they look down on us as though we're just plebeian nothings. We're not worthy of their attention. They give you a form letter. They'll take you to court, and because they've stacked the courts, the appellate courts, with over 200 young judicial placements. See, it's not just the Supreme Court. They place them in the appellate courts around the country. So now you sue the company, and if you win, they take it to the appellate level, and they win. If you lose and you take it to the appellate court, your appeal is denied. So what do? We focus, and we bring each other into focus, and then make a conscious effort to do what is necessary, what is right, and what we need to do right now. Get on board, choose your focus, or lose your focus, and your focus will be chosen for you. I thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to you. I hope what I said was of help and not of harm, because there's no malice in what I said. It is just a means of informing you of my thoughts on the subject. I will leave you as I greeted you, and turn you over to the capable hands of Nate Muhammad. Aye. Salaam alaikum.
Yes, Brian. That's Brian Ali again, the professor. I have to give him his props. You know what I'm saying? But we appreciate everything he's saying, because I can go back and just with the healthcare thing, where, as I always said, a background in construction, where they always threw things out there that was harmful, and as far as in their product. And they never told you that, like he said, they took the profit over the welfare of the people. That's my point. of being, we like to inform the people, being fair and honest. How you been trust from the people if you don't be honest with them? The society is not about the people. It's about wealth. It's about money. And as he said with the Supreme Court, with the billionaire, they crooning together, they sit back, they croon, you know, and enjoying the so-called life where the common people is suffering because of their neglect. And this is all that all the way across the board. And it's like as the brother said, all the way around, all over the world, the people are doing the same thing because of the business world. You understand? Is they take products over the people. That thing has to change. That has to change. They used to say the bottom is going to come to top and the top is going to come to bottom. That only can happen through the grace of the Lord. That's the only way it can happen. You know, I apologize. We having a problem with our board. If anybody had their hand up, apologize. We couldn't get to you because we can't see you. You know,
don't forget what you wanted to say and call next week.
But at the same time, you know, we appreciate the effort and the concern, and just the support our program. We look at the number of people that's on the board. I could see we have a few, you know, but I can't raise the monitor up to get the count. So those who down the bottom, if you had you had pushed the one and you wanted to come on and hand up, we can't see you. And because I look forward to the comments. I look forward always to the comments of the believers and the people. You understand? Because again, it means a lot to me that we can be able to talk. If we can sit there and we can be able to talk, I will enjoy that. Get that out of. That's better than anything because we can sit and plan stuff. We can sit here, even if we can argue. We can argue a point. Because of we have difference in personality, and you might look at things one way, and I look at it another way. But we always can come to a common denominator, and we long. That's why I said we lead with what the law wants, not what I want. I can give in to whatever is right. If that situation calls for that, you say that, I support that. That's how I go about doing it. I'm not going to drop what I'm talking, thinking about and follow something else without no provocation. If we're going to do this as one, it's worth it. I'll be glad to do it. I'll be the first one to do it. So we're coming down to our last minute, and we appreciate everybody, even though we couldn't get to you on your calls if you had them, but we enjoy it. We enjoyed your company, and I look forward to speaking to you next week. Another edition of the Halal Industry. Do for Self from 5 to 7 on Wednesday. Nate Muhammad, signing off. Assalamu alaikum.